This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CRB Ealing. Live on Cliff Central.
The moment you all have been waiting for. It's the Threaded Exchange with CRB Ealing. And yes! I'm back in the house, and of course, it's about conversations that are cultured, conversations that are brave, and of course, progressive. This is the Thread Exchange, the number one show online that inspires the whole entire nation. And we talk about, you know, progressiveness. We talk to young entrepreneurs who are doing incredible things across the spectrum of Africa. I do apologize. Our interview last week with Gail, we had a few technical issues, but we are currently working on it to recover that show. Otherwise, we might actually redo the whole interview. But today we've got Thibelo Motsoane, who's the founder of the Show Love Group, a man that started off within the music industry. He's worked with Head Honcho, done the craziest parties in Johannesburg. But I mean, we all know he's not new to the Cliff Central family. And now he's doing Cafe Tibbs. He's got, you know, wines. I mean, his aunt is next door with Lavo Wines, which he's also a part of. He's got AU Gold Vodka, which announced MT as one of its shareholders now. So there's a lot happening in Tibbs' life. And there's a rumor that he is the first Black South African man to have an MCC. Now, most of you might not know what an MCC is, so we're going to actually dissect what that is. And half the time, a lot of you guys talk a lot of bullshit online. Let me actually call that out.
Wow.
And I see a lot of comments about, yeah, I don't understand why Sia used to be a blogger, now he's doing Fashion Week. We don't understand why Tibbs used to throw parties and now he's doing wine. Can't people diversify? You know, what is it about diversifying in South Africa that we are not open to? I also always see Thibaut Touch take a lot of flack. You are a radio presenter. Why do you own your own radio channel? So a lot of people have problems against ownership. So Tibbs and I are going to talk about what it means to own. How do you start off as talent and how do you progress and end up building your own empire? You know, we saw Jay-Z with quarter to five, 440, 44. Yeah, his new album.
Do you call it quarter to five?
Is it 20 to five, quarter to five is his new album.
I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah, but in his new album, Jay-Z talks about Black ownership. He talks about as young Black people, we actually need to start investing in our own, you know, structures and building our own alcohol brands, building our own concerts, owning our own clubs. So Tiz and I are actually gonna, yeah, today talk about what that briefly means and talk a lot of other crap that we usually talk about. Tibbs,
what's up, brother?
How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's actually been a while since you and I have been on air together. I remember the last time we did that was when Ari was used to still be at Cliff Central.
Yeah, when I used to do Team Talk with Tibbs here, I think that's the last time we were on air together. So it's probably been about a year.
Been about a year. And yeah. And how's the last year been for you? Tell me about the last year.
I don't even know where to start, you know. I mean, for me, it's more like the last 3 years, you know, because it's what I've been spending time on in terms of, my diversification, getting into brands, building new properties, getting out of the Mr. Party mold, getting out of the strictly streetwear mold and, you know, getting into spaces where, you know, like fashion is not a restrictive thing, you know, and I think everything is design, you know, I think food is design, I think clothes are design, I think events are design. And for me, like just getting into my design mind frame was kind of like important, but I was patient with it, you know.
Yeah.
So a few things have come together, which is kind of cool. You know, AU Gold Vodka exists. Lava Wines exists. We're coming out with an MCC in about 3 weeks called Atelier.
Yeah. On the MCC, what is an MCC? How would you, for people that don't, I mean, I even remember speaking to you last week when we were at Starbucks doing the Team Talk with Tibbs, and I asked you, what does MCC mean? So if you had to define it for people, how would you...
Well, look, bottom line, because of our region in the world, we're not allowed to call our stuff champagne.
Yeah.
Just like we're not allowed to call our stuff cognac, because based on region.
Yeah.
So we have sparkling wine, or we have what we call Method Cab Classique.
Method Cab Classique, which means MCC.
Which, I mean, if you understand the process of fermentation and wine and like sparkling wine, then you know that it's... It's probably a Chenin Blanc that we turn into Brut, or it might be a Chardonnay that we turn into Brut. It might be a Pinot Noir that you turn into Brut Rosé. There's so many things that you can do. At the end of the day, I think that's one of the beauties of winemaking is that wine can be anything you want. I always ask people, like, do you guys actually know what's in chocolate block? And no one can actually tell you. Do you guys actually know what's in, like, Rupert and Rothschild?
Yeah.
And very few people can tell you, you know? But if you want to know, the information is there, and I think the process is kind of cool. You know, like, good wine, bad wine, it's a relative thing. Yeah. You know?
So let's get it right. So Atelier MCC, Method Cab Classique, is a champagne, and it's the first black-owned champagne in Africa.
I don't want to say first, because I'm never sure. I do know that I'm in the wine industry, and I don't know any black people that are into MCC.
Yeah.
I could be mistaken. I mean, also, like, you never know how people position themselves in business. Maybe they have some equity and stuff like that. But this is, I don't know anybody else other than me that's, you know, black.
Cool. Let's get into actually why I want to do this interview. I think a lot of people might not know this, but Tibbs is actually one of my closest friends. And I'm going to get a lot of hate for bringing you on my show because it's nepotism.
No, you're not.
But hey, it's life. He's here. And one of the things that you and I always talk about is what we like to call the spillover effect.
Sure.
And what I like to define as the spillover effect, guys, is when you use an opportunity to lead to other opportunities.
Yeah.
And we're in an industry where a lot of people like to define people and like to box people. Yeah. So Tibbs is the promoter, and then Tibbs opened the club. And then after opening the club, Tibbs opens his own websites and pushes Show Love. Straight after that, Tibbs owns a vodka. After the vodka, he owns a wine. After the wine, he owns a champagne bottle. And now everybody's like, what the fuck? How did this actually happen?
Kinda, we can swear here, no?
Yeah, we can swear, Baba. Oh, yeah. We're going in today. We're going in. So I want to talk to the power in diversifying and the power of the spillover effect. And we get a lot of criticism based around that, based around progression. So I want to get down into it, Tibbs. I met with a young lady on Friday who works with Until. She's worked with Cutthroat, and she was saying something cool, so interesting. She was like, it's actually so beautiful to see you and Tibbs build what you build. And it's going to be so scary one day when people across all these different industries in South Africa tell their stories and they'll realize that Tibbs has had everything to do with their journeys. Isn't that something you're conscious of? That
look, I am and I'm not. You know, I think I was conscious of it for a long time because I felt the need to be responsible for other people's dreams, you know?
Yeah.
I think all I've really done is just focus on the things that I enjoy. You know, I've always had a very curious mind. You know, I like to know how things make money. I like to know how things can make more money.
Yeah.
You know, so I see all the people that I admire and I'm like, if that guy can make money doing this, why can't I do it, you know? So people always ask me, like, dude, what do you do? Like, you do so many things. I'm like, I actually only do one thing. You know, I still do Show Love. And Show Love will always be connecting people and a brand.
Yeah.
People and an event. People and a space. People and a concept. You know, like, I consider myself a bridge. But all I've really done is that I want to own the brands now. You know, I don't want to just do great work for other people. And then next year I got to pitch again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want to own my brands. I want to compete. I want to showcase my learnings over the years as well, that I think I can do it better, you know? And I'm a firm believer in stop saying you can do better and do better. Do you know what I mean? Like, so people that don't like a Show Love party, cool. Like, either don't come or do better. Do you know what I mean? So I'm always trying to outdo myself. I think I have great wine. I think I have an incredible vodka. I think my MCC is going to be, you know, one of the biggest in Africa, you know.
We're going to make sure it's the biggest in Africa.
Yeah, look, and I also, I understand the game from various angles. You know, I'm not one of those guys that ask people for support. Yeah, you guys don't support me. You guys don't do, that's like, for me, like, my stuff has to be dope, and if it's dope, people will buy it, full stop.
Yeah. Before we get into the nitty-gritty and of all the projects you do, let's say in the next 120 years, I hope that's enough time that I'm giving you, the next 120 years, you're lying in your bed, and this is your last hour on Earth.
Yeah.
and an author of your choice comes to you and says, Tibbs, I'm finishing off your book.
Yep.
What is the one thing that you want people to remember about you?
That I tried, man.
That they never understood.
That I was always trying. I think I stopped using words like best, you know, and I stopped using words like, you know, game changer. You know,
phenomenon,
you know, great goat, you know, like I wanna, you know, I've always played sports, you know, I wanna play amongst the best in that regard and not necessarily be number one.
Yeah.
I think if we have an industry where everybody is killing it, then we all gonna do well. Like we have this thing where it's like it's only one guy that's supposed to succeed or one guy that's supposed to get rich. And I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand, like, now DJ Spoo's dropping a vodka. I think Galaxy Boy and them are dropping a vodka. And I'm supposed to be scared. And I'm like, I hope 10 more black people drop vodkas.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
We need more level ones.
Yeah.
You know, we need more black ownership in these spaces.
That's
that
it.
We are told that we could never own. I mean, imagine, you know, coming from Katlehong and now, you know, decades later, you're now in a partner in a wine that is black owned. And I can't imagine how proud that must make you feel.
No, look, I mean, I'm very, very proud. I'm also very proud of, I do my wine with my aunt. You know, she's a mentor. She's a great businesswoman, Lerato Pretorius. You know, she's got an article right now in Forbes Women, you know, great, great, phenomenal lady. And I also want to build family businesses. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a family man yet, but the products that I'm putting out, you know, I want one day my kids to be on the farm and to understand the process, when they want to build things, to understand the patience that you need to build things, you know, like we live in a generation where you don't really need credentials now.
Yeah.
If you decide that you are something, you can just put it in your bio and you can be that something.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes guys pop for a month, maybe pop for a year, but the reason they don't pop for long is because they didn't understand the process.
Yeah.
So when there's a dip, you can't go back to your basics because you didn't have the basics in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's what's scary about our youth today. And I think that's partly reason why I think of my journey, and I think this is something I didn't actually have to deal with, but I did, is that, you know, a lot of time, you know, millennials are great and I think millennials are dope. I am a millennial, but I also think millennials are full of shit in a sense that it's all about trending online, it's all about popping, it's all about just being in this space where everyone sees who you are. You have thousands and thousands of followers, but no one is asking themselves of, I'm 21 now, in the next 10 years I'm not gonna be the cool Instagram kid anymore.
Sure.
I have to grow out of being a millennial. No one is thinking about, okay, cool, if I'm a fashion blogger, how long can I actually sustain shooting street fight for brands? What's next? No one is asking themselves what is next, and no one is making, I'm not gonna say no one, because I know there's a select few who are, but most of the time, nobody is seeking more. And when you put yourself in a position, when you start to seek more, when you start to ask the uncomfortable questions, you get criticized. And I'm like, why though? Because, you know, my wins should be your wins. Your wins are my wins. And we're not all going to be, I'm not going to be Sia Beile who's 23 and hot forever. I'm going to be 40 one day and everyone will be like, that's the guy that started the Threaded Man, but no one is going to care about me. There'll be another Sia Beile who's popping. There'll be other Tibbs who are young, who are doing exciting things. But the question is, with the time that we are 40, what it is that we have built?
Look, I mean, 40 is still young. You know, 50 is still young. You know, when I look at people that I admire, you know, they have a drive that is definitely not based on age. I'm always told about how old I am now, you know, in terms of street culture or whatever the culture is.
I think people have even called you a fossil at some point.
Yeah, I've been a fossil. I don't know how many times I've been a fossil, you know. But look, I think everything is a blessing, dude. You know, if you can make money off social media, if you can make money off Instagram, well done. I think where your question leads is that can you kind of like adapt if that game changes as well?
Yes.
You know, because I understand that firsthand. I mean, I was a promoter before social media and I saw social media kill most promoters because they didn't embrace it. And I've seen social media kill a lot of promoters because they banked on it. You know, I think you got to understand how to use the tools. So if you get money from likes, well done. But it's not a safe environment if that's your staple diet or staple bread and butter, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Simply because the game changes and someone's always going to take cooler pictures than you, man. And someone's always going to get more likes than you. And someone is going to get a selfie with someone that's more famous than you. And then something's going to happen. So when the powers that be look at your impressions, maybe they don't understand why you're on and this guy's not on. So I always say that for me, brands that work with me will tell you that, please don't ask me to tweet 10 times or post 5 times. Let's talk about the entire campaign.
Yeah.
And if I'm happy about the entire campaign, you're going to get 100 tweets from me easy. You're going to get so many posts from me easy because I believe in the entire thing. So I think the authenticity is what everybody needs to kind of figure out for themselves.
Yes.
You know, if I don't believe you, that's my problem. If you believe in what you're putting out there, fantastic.
Wow. So I think I strongly agree with that. But at the same time, why is it that when, for example, I see Tibbs pushing Show Live, he launches his Tibbs website, but then all of a sudden I see Tibbs doing Cafe Tibbs, which is food, which is a completely different progression from what he usually does. Why is it that we criticize each other as black people?
Look, we can have the black on black criticism discussion probably for the rest of our lives. What Cafe Tibbs is, I'm older, bro. You know, I still like to go out, but option A for me isn't the club. Option A for me isn't parking lot pimping and drinking in the car until I get tipsy, then walking in the club. That's not option A for me.
Yeah.
I want to dress up. I want to look good. I still want to talk to girls. I want to eat some good food. And then maybe I want to party. So if that doesn't exist, I'm going to stop complaining about it. And I'm going to fix it. I'm going to create it, which is what I always did. That's what Show Love is. Show Love was a strictly hip-hop party because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
And the few hip-hop parties that exist were all underground, you know, backpacker. And the girls that I liked didn't want to chill there. So I created a space for the girls that I liked.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Cafe Tibbs is. Like, girls want to come. So
when is the next one?
The next one is on the 4th of August.
Yeah.
We're doing it at Il Tartufo in Hyde Park. If you follow me on social media, I post about the details probably 5 times a day. And we're only doing 60 seats. Usually Cafe Tibbs is free and invite only. What I've decided to do is every 3 months I'll put one out to the public. Just to be fair. If that even makes sense.
Okay, cool. Guys, it's 20 minutes into the show. Please do WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. We'll be playing a track right now. And on the other side, I'll be talking about Tibbs, about what is the culture? What does it mean when you say for the culture? And what does cultural progression mean to him? So we'll be back right after this. Please enjoy. This is Tembisa by Prince KB. And of course, it's the Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Beyile. Conversations that are progressive, conversations that are cultured, progressives that are groundbreaking. We are the youth of Africa. The future is up to us. We're building the future that we want. And the Threaded Exchange is about having conversations about how do we build that future and showcasing people who are building a part of that future. And of course, it's not only talking about all the good things and the whole Mary, let's build a utopia out of Africa, but it's also about tackling the real issues that are affecting our progressions. And today I've got Tibelo Motswane, who's the founder of the Show Love Group. And today we're talking about his journey towards diversifying and sort of the criticism that he's faced along that journey. And also we have some dope announcements coming having to do with Fashion Week. Apparently,
oh, yeah?
Cafe Tibbs, we're going to be throwing some sass.
Okay.
Yeah. So going back, Tibbs, what does the culture mean to you? What is the culture? What would you define as the culture?
You know, it's such a... I don't even think... I mean, sorry, no disrespect. I know I'm on your show, but I don't even think it's an important question.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think what we want to call things is completely up to us. You know, what drives us is completely up to us. I know that a lot of the things that I had to do, and I think the guys that I came up with had to do, was based on necessity. So a lot of the things that are under the culture umbrella now weren't cool, you know, 10 years ago. Definitely didn't pay 10 yeah. years ago. So I think there's this need for someone to own the space because now there's money in the space. So people want to be in charge of the culture because that means you get to dictate. You get to say what's cool. You get to say who's cool. You get to say who gets the budgets. And my whole thing is that we're from a space where we had to constantly create, you know. And if I were to define what the culture is, it's whatever drives you, bro. Like if you're driven by your ethnic culture, if you're driven by whatever street culture is, if you've got a love of hip hop and that's what drives you, if I've got a desire to get into the food space, I mean, it's not anything less in terms of culture and necessity to me. Do you know what I mean? But there's this thing where people want to be in charge.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's my issue. Like, no one's in charge. No one owns it. No one, dude, every day someone wants me to listen to their music. You know, and I almost always say no.
Yeah.
And the reason I say no, other than the fact that I don't want to hear bad music, you know, because I promise you 98% of the time it's bad music. Yeah. But I don't have the right to tell you that.
Yeah.
If I think you suck, you know, who am I to tell you that? And who am I to tell you if you've got a future or not? So half the time, the reason I don't want to listen is because dudes don't back themselves, and they need to back themselves. Yeah. You know, they can't get a cosign from me, and then I'm told, no, it's old niggas like you who aren't for the culture. You're not progressive. You're not putting on the new guys. I'm like, dude, I'm not even there. Other than publishing, I haven't made a one rand in rap in maybe 4 years. Do you know what I mean? I'm literally not in that space anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I just think the culture thing, it's too vague. You know, guys need to get specific. If you want to get into fashion, get into fashion, you know, and understand fashion. And it doesn't mean you have to study fashion, but talk to Sia, you know, talk to... Yeah. Boogie, talk to whoever's in the space, you know, like become a sponge. Me, the stuff that I'm doing with alcohol now, I've been a sponge for 5 years. You know, I've been going to wine farms and people think I'm trying to become a hippie or whatever, and I've been learning, you know what I mean? And if you want to talk about wine, we can talk about wine. I know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? And I continue to learn, and that's the culture for me.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I asked the question because I do want to open up this debate, because, I mean, I have interesting points of view based on this topic. I think, first and foremost, I think it's to realize that there's different types of cultures. And I think one of my biggest problem is that we see the street culture as the overall culture, that everybody has to be street and that everyone has to listen to Travis Scott. And so in a South African context, when they talk about the culture, that's what they're talking about. But there's a much bigger, different types of cultures. There's different types of subcultures. When you go to Soweto, you're exposed to a different type of subculture. Now, the term for me, when you're saying for the culture, the question that I want to ask is that the work that you do, how many people does it influence and does it give a platform to across the different genres of culture? So for me, that's what cultural influence is about. And you are right. I hate the fact that we're in a space where people, you know, I wouldn't like to call them culture vultures, but they are culture vultures where they're doing all these culturally relevant things that they find are going to trend and going to be cool. And then they say for the culture. And then my question always is, cool, but if you're doing this thing and you're for the culture, how is it progressing the culture? And progressing the culture for me is about making sure that our kids and the kids that follow after us, when it's time for their turn to take over and take the Cafe Tips concept to the next level, or take the Threaded Man concept to the next level, we must make sure that they're not fighting the same battles that we are fighting.
Yep.
It's about passing on the torch to the next generation to fight the level, to fight the battle on a higher level. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, if I'm for the culture and I look at the Threat of Man future, I want my kids or the kids that follow after me to be fighting with the president of France because the Threaded Man is the biggest fashion lifestyle brand in France. Those are the kind of battles I want my kids to be fighting. Do you get what I'm saying?
I think it's more people now talking about the culture thing. It's more about relevancy than legacy. It's all about the now than the future. So they're looking at it, shit, if I do this, I want to be cool now and do all these things. But they're not thinking about, we have to open the doors so that the kids that are growing up now, they can learn from you guys and elevate it. Because like you said, like Tom Ford said, you know, we all have a window of opportunity in our lives, you know, and that window just flows past across our faces and we'll be in the middle of the frame. That's when you are the best, you're the biggest, you're doing the greatest, you're making the most money. But that window of opportunity is going to pass you. You might try to cling on it, but it's going to go. It's going to pass you. So there's always going to be someone else who's going to be in that space after you long gone. But I think people are like trying to keep people like down, like sort of, and not like allow them to enter that space.
What, to express themselves?
Yeah, no, not like express yourself. It's more like, if I'm successful now and I'm doing all these things, I don't want someone else to take that shine away from me. You know, it's more like we are trying to stay on top for as long as we can. But it's not about that. It's about me being on top. Now I have to get other people onto the same level as me.
Sure.
You know, yeah. That's what Kobe Bryant said. He's like, the reason I became so good is not because for myself, really. It's because I knew when I was really good, I could make sure that the other kids are going to be as good as me, if not better.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of existence. It's all about passing on a legacy, passing on lessons. It's like we watched Lucy last night. Remember when it was like the two cells?
Yes.
It's all about one cell becomes two cells. It's all about passing on information. And then it multiplies and multiplies. So we always think singular. Okay, I did this. That's where it ends. But it's all about passing on information. So two cells become four cells.
It multiplies.
So that's how we're supposed to look at this thing. It's like, if I do this, I have to make sure someone else can do it. Then that person will make sure someone else can do it. Then I'm on this side, I'm making sure someone else can do it. So it becomes four. It becomes 8, 16, 32, and it keeps multiplying. And then, you know.
Guys, by the way, that's my younger brother. That's Anganati Beyile.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Tibbs, what do you think?
Nicely said, young man. Nicely said. I think more than anything, you can't be a part of anything that's progressive if you led by your fears. You know, my whole thing again when I say that, you know, we didn't even know it was a thing. We didn't even know it was the culture. We didn't know, you know, it was gonna make money. You know, like at the end of the day, I didn't want to work for anyone, and I always played to my strengths. Yeah. You know, people have this thing. I think my issue with whatever the culture is I see a lot of tracing. I see a lot of copycats. I'm like, oh, that's Bun Bun's thing. Why would you do that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we all complain about, let's say, white-owned agencies that run budgets and then have the copy, you know, when they're selling stuff to black people, but who's actually creating, you know? So the few black people that get the opportunity or the black person that's in the room, why aren't you telling them that that shit is whack? Do you know what I mean? Why aren't you telling them that we don't sing at KFC?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We never sing at KFC. You know, I don't know if you've ever sung at KFC. I haven't. I don't sing for a streetwise, dog.
My mother doesn't sing when she washes the washing.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she just puts it in the tumble dryer and then leaves.
And, you know, the same way it's Skip is white dudes in lab coats and Omo is Umevis.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Personally, I buy what my helper tells me to buy, which means she understands it better than everybody.
Yeah.
But who's actually speaking to her? Do you know what I mean? So all these things, the cool part of whatever the culture is what everybody focuses on. But my thing is that who's creating, and like you said with the legacy, who's providing platforms?
Who's multiplying?
Do you know what I mean? There needs to be more. You know, there needs to be more guys doing vodka. so that we can have our own festivals, so that we can sponsor ourselves.
So if
Anga has an idea, I need to be able to sponsor Anga. That's the only way to build.
Actually, I'm so excited because you actually, I've finally brought you where I want you, Tibbs, in this debate. Why is it, and it's something that I always thought as a young kid, you know, and I think it's what drives me and the Threaded Man, and I think it's why we connect really well, is that whatever opportunity was given to us, we were always like, how can I own this? How can I create my own? Or how can I use this opportunity to get another opportunity from it? So Tibbs, where do you think you got that ability from? So for example, I mean, you know, another in another dimension, another Tibbs could have said, you know what? I've made AKA, I've worked with AKA, he's the biggest rapper in the country. I'm cool to relax, eat my money, you know what I'm saying, and chill. But you went on to own a club from there. From opening a club, you're like, cool, I've owned a club, I've got the badge, let me sell the club, and I now want alcohol. What gave you that innate ability to just keep progressing and also at the same time evolving? Where do you get that from?
You know, it's still a day one mentality of necessity. You know, I've seen it firsthand that everything changes. For example, when I started throwing parties, you could have parties for $50 because everybody paid.
Yeah.
You know, then you had to make parties R100. I think it's like $250 to get into Kong now or something like that.
You're joking.
It is.
Yeah. You know, but
damn.
Reason being is that everybody's cool. Everybody's on the list. Do you know what I mean? You'd rather have your venue full, you know, than actually make money at the door.
Yeah.
So I learned that very, very early in the game that actually you got to figure out how to keep giving people stuff for free, you know, but still make money. You know, so if you walk in and you buy drinks at my bar because it's my space, do you know what I mean? I make more money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Then you're not going to stress me about ALS or anything like that. All these things, other than also genuine interest, you know, because I think that's something that I just decided to do, that the things that I enjoy, I'm going to try and make money doing the things that I enjoy because it's authentic for me. But necessity, you know, how this thing makes money today isn't how it's going to make money a year from now. There'll be 20 different versions of this thing, and maybe it's not as interesting. Maybe you're dealing with recessions. Maybe people just want to stay home. You know, easy example. The club is based on guys wanting to get girls, right? Easy example. So if you bri on a Saturday and you got a whole bunch of girls at your bri, you're not going to the club. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So as a promoter, you got to constantly figure out how to make things attractive to females. That's a promoter's job. Girls have to come, otherwise you're dead. That's a promoter's
you're
job.
Dead.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next question.
No, I thought you weren't done. So, but then at the same time, in what you're saying is, if you're figuring out that, you know, things won't. So if, for example, we started ALS today, and you're saying that, in the next, if we do ALS for the next 5 years, the way it makes money each year will be different.
Sure.
So now, in saying what you're saying, do you think then it's actually being arrogant to create a product to think that people are not going to copy you? So in another sense, copying is actually a good thing, that if you do something, then people copy you. I mean, I remember you with ALS, there used to be never a party on a Sunday night in Johannesburg. But now there's King Kong Sundays, there's party every Sundays across Johannesburg. So do you sit in a space and you think, wow, I was the first guy to do that, but I'm actually glad that sort of the culture, inverted commas, copied what you do. Do you think copying is a good thing?
First and foremost, I haven't created anything that doesn't take bits and pieces from many, many things.
Yeah.
I'm not the first guy to put together Dines. You know, it's just that Cafe Teebs is my spin on Dines. You know, Sunday parties actually weren't created by me. I mean, prior to ALS, we had Garden of Eden, but I mean, Banyaza, all those places in the hood have been throwing Sunday parties since I was underage. Yeah. So you can imagine, do you know, matinees, all those vibes in Cape Town. Yeah. You know, so I just felt like there was a gap in Joburg, and that's just always been me. Like, I don't wait for someone else to do the thing that drives me crazy. Do you know what I mean? So if I'm going to try it, I'm going to fail a few times, and then eventually I'll figure it out. If it gets traced, then the work isn't at the event. The work is with the brands. The work is with the strategy. The work is who am I talking to in the week? Do you know what I mean? If you remember ALS, I spoke about ALS every day. You know what I mean? When we dropped the pictures of Ladies Love ALS, you know, it was a strategy the whole week that this thing, you got to be talking about it all the time. Yeah. So if we had a guest, I mean, we've had everybody. I remember the one night we had J. Cole at ALS. You know, I remember during the World Cup, I remember Kobe walking into ALS, you know, like, but how you spill that over and utilize that is key. Do you know what I mean? I can't, there's been plenty of ALSs that were empty. Do you know what I mean? So how do you keep the party going if last week people were like, but ALS sucked last week. I think it's over for them.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But also, how do you keep, I mean, you've also had failures where you've tried certain things that just completely failed and the world has never seen.
Yeah.
But there's certain things that started off where to the public might have been a failure because either the venue wasn't full. The ideas that became your platinum on the wall, how did you sort of see them as non-failures even when people saw them as failures? So, for example, as you said, ALS never had people there. What made you think, I don't care, this thing's actually going to work?
Look, it's sometimes it's not even a failure in people's eyes. It's just, did I execute my goal?
Yeah.
You know, the first Cafe Teebs, for example, I charged people for it. And my goal was 100 people. And I ended up getting 81 people. And I was happy. But when I thought about it, it's like, how do I sustain this thing? And I was like, you can't sustain this thing by constantly charging people. You know, you got to create a vibe where there has to be a formal element to it. Like, you have to trick the mind, like, in marketing. Like, if something is for everyone, no one's going to buy into it. Do you know what I mean? So I don't sell McDonald's. Do you know what I mean? I don't sell Coca-Cola. I'm not in that position. Do you know what I mean? I sell a product, and the people that are within the space, they need to feel a certain way. And the people that are not in the space need to feel a certain way. You know, so failure for me is, it doesn't exist. It's just a question of, did I knock out the target?
Yeah.
Did I execute the goal? And if I didn't, how do I improve? I mean, the flops that I've had through the years, 9 out of 10 times are because I let my ego lead. So I just assumed that people were going to come to Teebs' party, and I didn't do the work.
Yeah.
Maybe I put out a broadcast SMS, do you know what I mean? Maybe I didn't get in the streets, I didn't do flyers, I didn't make personal phone calls, I didn't come to radio and talk about my product because I just assumed that the word is out there that Teebs is throwing a party on Friday and people are going to come.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works, and that's not how it works for anybody.
Yeah.
Like whoever's on right now, there's going to be a version of you just now.
Yeah.
And then how do you maintain?
Yeah.
How do we continue to be a part of your vision?
Yeah. I mean, and also the reason I'm asking that question, I think it's a key question for those that are listening, is because I see a lot of kids tweeting us, and we go to your team talk with Tibbs at Starbucks, and a lot of kids ask the same question. They'll be like, I have this dope idea, but no one is coming, or no one is supporting, or a lot of people are just afraid of what is considered to be failure, because it's about, what are people going to say?
Yeah.
And I want to say to them, whoever's listening out there, if you have a dope concept and you believe in it, it's about your personal goals, not what people perceive as success.
Yep.
That's very important.
100%.
And don't be afraid of having, and I always say I don't believe in failure, I believe in challenges. Don't be afraid to have challenges. Don't be afraid to go through challenges, because challenges is what makes you better. Do you think that Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi are the best soccer players in the world without any challenges? That's impossible. They can't be.
Sure.
Michael Jordan had to miss a couple of hoops for him to score a lot more hoops. So if you have a concept and idea and you feel like it's failing, first reverse and ask yourself, why is it failing? Why do you think is it failing? Are you saying it's failing based on the idea of what people will see as failure?
Yeah.
But then, is it failure based on your goals? And if it's your goals, then how do you align your goals with what you're producing? And a lot of people are also, I think, Tibbs, are also afraid to be patient.
Look, you know, I think
patience is missing.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. People don't start, you know, other than a lack of patience, people don't begin. And the reason they don't begin is because they want funding. because their operation doesn't look a certain way. So there's no office, there's no this, that, and the third. So people feel like they're not in business. My thing is that you can't be afraid to start small. And if you have an office, do you need an office? Does this office pay for itself?
Yeah.
You know, you have this space that you've got a 12-month lease for minimum, and are you even able to pay for this thing, or do you just look good? Because that's another Joburg thing. You know, people like to look busy in Joburg, you know? Like, you're in meetings in restaurants, and then you get the waiter to take pictures, and then there's a caption about big things on the way. You know what I mean? And my thing is, it's dangerous, bro. You know, like, so sometimes people look down on themselves because their operation doesn't look like Diddy's operation currently. You know what I mean? And when you watch Diddy's documentary, like, the first Bad Boy office was in his garage. You know, if you know the Bill Gates story, if you know the Steve Jobs story, like, these are not pretty stories.
Mark Zuckerberg in a dorm room.
They're not pretty. Yeah, they're not pretty stories. And we have this thing where we're just supposed to start at the top. You know, I got a couple of mentors who do exceptional business and don't own offices at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, you go meet the guy in his house. You know, he owns a house. Do you know what I mean? So maybe you're depriving yourself of nice things in life because you just want to look sexy in business. And business is not a romantic thing at all. It's not a romantic thing.
It isn't. And also, guys, let me tell you something. There is no epiphany that happens. A lot of people think things are epiphanies. Like, Tibbs woke up one day and he saw Lava Wines, he saw AU Gold Vodka, he saw Show Tibbs Live, he saw AKA, everything. Just, you woke up and you saw everything. Guys, there's no such thing. I promise you, there is no epiphany. All it takes is for you to start. And you never know how good you're going to be at the game unless you play the game. You can't
100%.
You can't sit on the side of the pitch and be like, oh, I'm going to be the best soccer player in the world. You actually have to play the sport. So guys, whatever idea that you have and whatever concept that you have and whatever dreams that you have, you need to start somewhere.
Yep.
And that start might not be pretty. I remember when I started with Threaded Man, I didn't have a laptop and I didn't have a cell phone. I had to walk 5 to 10 kilometers every day to the library to blog after hours. Even when I dropped out of Lysoff, I had to get the secretary to sneak me in. So it isn't a pretty sight. And a lot of people, and also I think social media brings that thing where they see Tibbs in his restaurant or they see Tibbs at Cafe Tibbs and think, wow, Tibbs just woke up like that.
Sure.
And they don't understand that that picture was actually 4 years in the making. For you to be at that point at that exact time and for you to post that picture and that message, it took you 4 years.
Yeah.
And I think social media has made it feel like a lot of the stuff that we do and a lot of the stuff that Black Coffee does, Black Coffee just woke up and it was Black Coffee. Black Coffee's been grinding forever.
Yeah.
And for him now to be chilling in Ibiza or to be at Tomorrowland, that's 5 to 7 years
and,
in the making.
And Black Coffee's goal isn't what we think it is.
Yeah.
You know, when he tweets this is only the beginning, it's because we don't understand the man's goal. So you might even feel like you're a failure as a DJ because you're not on Black Coffee's level. Like, what's your goal?
Yeah.
What's your target as a DJ? Like, where do you want to be? And a lot of this boils down to that. You know, like, if someone else's achievements are your goals, then you're never gonna achieve, bro.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah,
I think that's the danger with like social media and like when you guys discuss millennials, is that it's because you see like young people are achieving like amazing things, like younger and younger, you know, like Justin Bieber was like 14 when he got discovered, or like, you know, like all these big rappers, like the Lil Yachty's, he's 19, he's a millionaire. So I think a lot of people, they see what you do and they feel pressured. That's what social media does. That's what the internet has done. It's kind of made things look so easy, so people feel pressured, so they think it's going to be easy too. But in reality, like, Justin Bieber has been singing since he was like 3 years old.
100%. He's put in his 10,000 hours.
He put in the 10,000 hours. So people see the pretty sides as it happens, because social media, that's how it works. It's just, you blow up. That story, the real story is never told through social media. You just get the blow up and the glow up. You don't see that Lil Yachty was probably, you know, he started writing his rhymes and he was like 8 years old or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It just, everything is made to look so easy via social media.
Also, I mean, you got to think of who's still here.
Yeah.
You know, where's Chingy? Do you know what I mean? Where's that guy that throw some D's on that bitch? Where's that guy? Where's that guy?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so who's still here? Do you know what I mean? In every industry, and we only really talking about entertainment and whatever we think the culture is.
Yeah.
You know, like, you walk around a mall and businesses are closing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The people that ask me for work, I'm sometimes in shock.
Yeah.
And simply because, you know, like, business is bad. You know, like, we have to all adapt or die.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that boils down to the necessity. So what are you willing to create? Are you willing to let the streets say that you fell off in order to bounce back and scale down and regroup and make your comeback? Because that's why a lot of people disappear. They get one L and then they never come back.
Yeah.
Because they can't deal with the embarrassment of what the streets say about them.
Yeah.
Yo, that guy fell off. Now you, I don't know, you leave Jersey, you go to Kroonstad and you go work there.
Go farm and stuff.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You give up on your dreams because you're so worried about being embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, and what I always tell guys is that if you don't have the stomach to lead, then rather just go offer someone some help as part of their dream and just earn your keep.
Yeah.
You know,
I think for me, you know, longevity is through ownership.
100%.
And I think we are at the perfect time now to do ownership. And I think we need to, and for me, it's so crazy, you know, where as much as we have a lot of people wanting quick gratification, I feel like we also have such amazing people in this country who are actually showing us. I mean, think about it, a couple of years ago when Gareth Cliff decided to leave 5FM at the time. You know, he was like, I work for 5M, I work for SABC, how can't I build my own, you know, network? Why can't I build my own Cliff Central, which is going to become a media hub for not just radio, but for online podcasting content in general? And that's ownership. Thibaut Touch with Touch HD, you know, but at the same time, we spend a lot of our efforts criticizing those people. You know, with you, with AU Gold Vodka, and now with your Lavo Wines, as well as your Atelier MCC, now I can imagine the next party that you might throw, decide to throw, will only have your own alcohol, and it will be sponsored by you. So,
well, otherwise, what's the point?
Or otherwise, what is the point?
You know what I mean? If we have to build our products, you know, I'm glad Jay-Z said it, but we shouldn't have to wait for Jay-Z to say it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We have to build our products, you know, right down to supply chain, right down to value chain. Like, we need to build our products.
Yeah. That is a good way to end the show. Any more last words, Tibbs?
No.
Yeah.
Just
rumor has it that at Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week Johannesburg, Cafe Tibbs is coming through. Is that true?
No, we out there. So get your AFI tickets. Cafe Tibbs will be out at AFI. We're doing some really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, and you're going to be out there with your boy Mison, eh?
Yeah, Misology and I are going to collab. Until is going to do some great stuff with the entertainment stuff. And you're the man in charge. I heard that rumor as well. I heard the Threaded Man is in charge, man.
Yeah, well, Threaded Man is working on Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. We're releasing a few things this week, so keep your eyes locked on our social medias and across all our platforms. It's going to be really, really incredible. And of course, the Thread Exchange is going to be there. I'm going to be interviewing some of the best designers on the continent, and we're going to do some crazy content for Cliff Central on the Thread Exchange. Anganati, any last words on your end?
Patience.
Wise man. Wise young man.
Wise. Also, next week, Saturday, the 29th of July, I'm going to be on Wits campus from 12 until 1. I'm doing a magazine signing. Wits has launched a new magazine called the CR Magazine, and it's all about encouraging learners to read. So I'm excited to be the first cover star of that magazine, and I can't wait to meet all the Wits students who want to talk to me. So come through there. I might actually just convince Tibbs to make an appearance with me. So as an added extra, Tibbs is going to be... I need celebrities to come with me to things
don't
now.
Don't do that.
Otherwise, I'm going to have one person there. You
kids
know?
Need you.
The kids need Tibbs.
What? For the culture.
For the culture. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining us for the Thread Exchange. Please stay in tune. We have some more things exciting from the show. And of course, we've also got a new partner who will be joining us on this show. And it's going to be quite an exciting venture. So keep your eyes locked on our Cliff Central app. Please download it. You can also download all my episodes of the Thread Exchange on iTunes or Apple Music.
How many episodes is that now?
I think I'm I don't know, 30-something?
Ooh.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Half century is coming soon.
Half century coming soon. So please, guys, keep your eyes locked. Let us know. Give us feedback. Tweet us. If you hate it, tell us. If you love it, tell us. I'm Siyabonga Beyile, and this is The Threaded Exchange.
This is CliffCentral.com.